101.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Old Pal Spooky here, welcome you out to Spook Trail Haunted Maze, Spook Trail 269, Spook Trail!
Spook Trail Haunted Maze is one of Alabama's longest haunts, founded in 1989 and has been running strong since then. Over a quarter mile long outdoor maze in the woods through an old junkyard, through twists and turns into the darkness. If you are looking for an extreme adventure into some of the darkest areas of your mind, then this is the place for you. Due to the nature of their paths, you will be entering at your own risk. Look up Spook Trail Haunted Maze on Facebook to see what days are going to be open. Just minutes from Birmingham and Jasper in Quinton, Alabama. And remember,
Spook Trail!
It is time for the Arkansas and Tennessee preview show right here on the Stingray Show. And shockingly enough, the Razorbacks of Arkansas are on a four-game win streak over the Tennessee Volunteers that dates back to 2011. These teams have faced off against one another 2011, 2015, 2020. And 2024, the last win in this series for Tennessee was back in 2007. Ryan Silva of Rocky Top Insider is on deck to join me. And then a little bit later on, Kevin Bohanna from Hogsports.com joins us for a preview of Tennessee and Arkansas on this edition of the Stingray Show.
Hi, this is Tim Brando with a reminder. Those of you on Tide 100.9, look out. You're about to feel the buzz of Stingray.
This is Stephen Ray, a.k.a. Stingray, coming to you live from Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
I'm Heath Hopkins. I'm here in DeSoto County, Mississippi, right outside of Memphis, Tennessee.
You know, Mark, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you feel that responsibility to pay it forward and give some kid a chance coming up in the ranks, kind of like Tony did for you?
Why do you think I'm talking to Stingray tonight?
Thank you, man. I appreciate that.
No, I mean, look, no.
Hey, Stingray, here's the deal. When you get involved with Texas, it's like getting married to a stripper. And let me explain this. It looks good, kind of sexy on the surface. Yeah, but then you get the baggage, you get the drama, you get all that eventually comes with it. And that's what you get with Texas, and that's what the Big 12 learned.
And Heath, any thoughts on our show moving forward?
Hey, to everyone in Tuscaloosa listening here on Tide 100.9, with the Stingray Show, if you don't like it, you better learn to love it, because it's the best show going today, baby. Woo!
And with that, I want to welcome you inside the Arkansas and Tennessee preview show right here on the Stingray Show. And like I was saying off the top of the show, this series here recently has been dominated by Arkansas since 2011. And last year's game, Arkansas scored the final 16 points of the football game and held Nico in Tennessee out of the end zone on the final play to stun the Volunteers there in Fayetteville. And thus, a field storming ensued in Fayetteville. Tennessee is looking for revenge coming in off of a bye week. To break this game down from the Tennessee perspective, here is Ryan Silva of Rocky Top Insider. Ryan, how are things with you up on old Rocky Top?
I'm doing good, Stingray. Thanks for having me on. I think it's funny you mentioned the history between the two teams and how it hasn't gone UT's way recently. I think they used up all their goodwill in the stumble and fumble back in 1998. So I think Tennessee fans are hoping to get back on the right side of this series, obviously, after a game where really there's not a lot of excuses you can make for dropping that one in Fayetteville last year. And that is something Josh Heupel already talked about this week, is it was something they pointed to in the offseason. It was something that, you know, they felt like to move forward as a program, you know, maybe you have to get a little bit revenge this year.
Ryan, let's go ahead and talk about the last game for Tennessee, because they were on a bye week last week. 2 weeks ago, Tennessee escaped Starkville with a narrow victory in overtime, where that defense was gashed by Mississippi State's run game. Give us a quick recap of your thoughts on Tennessee and Mississippi State.
Well, yeah, escaped is a good word for it, because it was about as close as a football game can be, and that's two straight SEC games to open the SEC slate for Tennessee, where it's as close as it could literally be, with the overtime loss to Georgia and then the overtime win at Mississippi State. I mean, you're a fraction of an inch away, it feels like, from being 2-0 or 0-2 in SEC play. And at the end of the day, it comes out almost as a wash, and you're 1-1, and you still have your entire season ahead of you. It feels like the margin for error is probably one more loss. If you go 10-2, you should be fine for the playoffs. But now you only have that one more loss in your pocket, which makes these games against the Arkansas and you know, that win over Mississippi State last week even more important to make sure you still have that one loss in your pocket. But yeah, I think the defense, obviously isn't as good as it was a year ago. Like, it was one of the best units in the country last year, and that's the reason Tennessee was in the playoffs a year ago, is because the defense was so good. They need to improve. The tackling was an issue at times. They couldn't stop Fluff Bothwell on the ground a few times, and he ran kind of wild at times against Tennessee. But at the same time, I don't think the defense was horrid. Like, there was a lot of situations where it was short field. It was turnovers. It was the muffed punt. Like, Tennessee gets a three and out to start the game. They at the very least forced that punt, and then you muff the punt, and you just set up Mississippi State right there to score. So you see both sides of it. You see the areas that they certainly do need to improve on defense, but also they scored two touchdowns. They helped the offense look a lot better on the scoreboard, and the offense also didn't help them at times in terms of field positioning. So there's a lot of areas to clean up, but I think there's still a lot of positives you can take away.
All right. We are through the first half of the college football season, as we've done week 6 going into week 7. Talk about what you have seen so far the first half of this season from Joey Aguilar, and where you would like to see him take the next step through the next 6 games.
I think you have to be extremely pleased with what Joey Aguilar has given Tennessee so far. I think the biggest thing that jumps out just looking at the stat sheet is the interceptions. But once again, it's like you hate to make excuses for all these interceptions, but it's like a lot of them really, like, I don't know if there's one that you fully put the blame on him. I guess the first one where it was kind of just a jump ball on third down against Georgia. But at the same time, it's kind of an arm punt. It was third down. Didn't pin him like within the 10 or anything, but it didn't give Georgia good field positioning at all. So is that his fault? Sure. But is it the end of the world? No, it was just an arm punt. The next one, Braylon Staley slips and it goes right into a defender's hands instead of probably a converted first down. He throws one against UAB that was probably defensive pass interference that wasn't called, and the ball gets tipped straight into the air and it's caught. The two against Mississippi State, not the best throws, not the best located throws to Miles Kitzelman, the tight end, but two plays that Kitzelman probably should come up with, and instead it pops once again straight into the air and into the hands of Mississippi State defender. So it's not like he's making dumb decisions. It's not like he's putting the ball in harm's way too much, which was, I think, the biggest criticism or the biggest fear that people had for him taking the step from App State, where he did turn the ball over a lot, coming to the SEC where the window's getting even tighter and you have to be even more perfect on every single throw. And then the deep balls look good. And that's something that Tennessee's missed the last few seasons. It got frustrating at times for sure with Nico and even Joe Milton, where you saw the receivers open and you just couldn't connect on some of those throws down the field. It's pretty rare that he lets one loose down the field and it's not, you know, on the money. Even the ones that aren't completed, think back to the Mississippi State game, it was a drop pass that was wide open that would have really made that stat line look better. Or even the one to Chris Brazel, where it was a very sketchy offensive pass interference in real time. Maybe you saw it, and then the judge, back judge, all the way across the field throws the flag, and on replay, it certainly didn't look like OPI at all, and that obviously would have helped that stat line look better too. And Tennessee probably wins in regulation if that one's not called. So overall, I think you have to really like what he's done. He's been accurate all over the field. He's thrown the deep ball well. and he's shown the ability to run the ball. He's not afraid of contact. He'll lower his shoulder. It's overall been, I think, nothing you can really complain about. Certainly better than I expected him to be as we get right into the swing of SEC play.
So we are up against our first break of the evening. When we come back, we are going to dive exclusively into the matchup there with Arkansas up on the old Rocky Top. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show, and we will be right back. It's college football season, and what goes well with college football? Events. And if you have an event coming up and needs catering, let Certified Chef Jamie and the Coker Market do the event for you. Here are just some of the things that Coker Market have to offer for your catering needs. Pulled pork by the pound, chicken tenders by the dozen, smoked wings by the dozen, or a half a slab of ribs or a full slab of ribs. Contact Jamie and the Coker Market today, or better yet, go by there off of County Road 140 and let them help you take the hassle out of the catering needs for your event this upcoming football season. How would you like to live where you love in the state of Alabama? Whether it is your upsizing, downsizing, retiring at the beach, or relocating for your job, then you are going to want to contact Celeste Hagler, owner of First Class Real Estate South Home Group, with brokers in Tuscaloosa, Orange Beach, and Huntsville. They can help you with the buying, selling, and investment needs throughout the state of Alabama. You can contact Celeste at 205-861-5698. Once again, that is 205-861-5698, and schedule a consultation to discuss your real estate goals anywhere across the state of Alabama. For over 100 years, the Bank of Moundville has been a name clients can trust. The Bank of Moundville is more than just a bank. They're your neighbors, your friends, and your community partners. Their unique approach to financial education has always centered around families. They believe that financially strong homes today lay the foundation for a brighter future for tomorrow's generation. You can call them today at 205-371-2227. Once again, that is 371-2227 to schedule an appointment to build your financial security. The Bank of Moundville is a member FDIC and an equal housing.
The flagship station for Alabama Crimson Tide football.
Alabama touchdown.
Only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. My guest this evening to talk about the Arkansas and Tennessee matchup from the Tennessee side is Ryan Silva of RockyTopInsider.com. And Ryan, if you would, let's quickly backtrack to 2024 and talk about the Arkansas game there in Fayetteville that stunningly Tennessee lost in a game where Arkansas scored the final 16 points of that game. And then for some unknown reason on the final play, Nico did not even give his receivers a chance to catch the ball. Instead, he just ran out of bounds.
Yeah, I'll defend Nico a little bit on that. Well, obviously it's not great optics to run out of bounds on the last play. He said he wanted to throw it up and the ball started to slip out of his hands a little bit. So he tried to hold on to it. Part of me also thinks that he thought there was time on the clock. Like, it wasn't like the Joe Milton in 2021 against Ole Miss where he just walked out of bounds and forfeited the game, essentially. He put his shoulder down. He was fine for extra yards. To me, it felt like he thought maybe there was a tick left on the clock, which obviously there wasn't. So it's not good optically. But I will defend Nico a little bit on that one. But overall, yeah, it's a game that they shouldn't have lost. The offense couldn't do anything throughout the whole game. The defense did its job and more. Like, they put themselves in plenty of a position to win. Dylan Sampson got going a little bit late in the game, and he punched in what at the time felt like maybe would have been the deciding touchdown. And then Arkansas obviously scores late, and Tennessee's final drive doesn't end up in the end zone, so they lose. And It was, you know, probably the difference, I guess, in retrospect between Tennessee going to Ohio State, who's the national champion now, and really not having much of a chance to win that game, it feels like, in retrospect, compared to Tennessee hosting a playoff game or maybe even playing in the SEC championship game. And if you win that one, then you're getting a bye in the playoffs. So it made a big difference as far as the postseason and as far as where Tennessee was seeded in that. And you know, that's why it's, I think, lingering a little bit with Tennessee right now too, and that they're trying to play that revenge card a little bit. Very different teams on both sides of the ball though this year. You know, Tennessee's got a quarterback that's playing better than Nico was a year ago. Its receivers are playing better. The offense looks completely different. As far as Arkansas, their offense has some of the similar pieces with Taylor Green, who's been phenomenal as well, but the defense has been horrid for the Razorbacks, and that's a big reason why Sam Pittman's not the head coach there right now, and they're going to Bobby Petrino. But at the same time, that creates an interesting dilemma for Tennessee, where you don't know what to expect on the defensive side of the ball for Arkansas right now. It's a lot of different pieces on the staff. It's a new defensive coordinator. It's the same personnel, but are they going to try to do a lot of the things they were doing earlier this year that clearly weren't working? Are they going to go back to what they did against Tennessee last year and see if that works? Are they going to completely change things up? It's going to be a game this year where Tennessee's going to have to adjust on the fly and make in-game adjustments as this game goes on, once they figure out what Arkansas wants to do.
And the worst thing for the Tennessee perspective is they did the firing of Sam Pittman going into a bye week, so you have nothing on film for the Bobby Petrino interim head coach until they play Tennessee.
Yeah, I think you kind of expect them to be very similar to what they were on offense, just because Bobby Petrino was obviously the offensive coordinator. So it should be a lot of the same stuff for Tennessee's defense to prepare for. But yeah, on the other side, I mean, it's Willie Hausley, the offensive coordinator for Tennessee, compared to the first game of the season. Like, you can look at what they've done in the past and at Old Stops, but man, until you get out there and you see exactly what they throw at you, yeah, how much you can really prepare for. So Tennessee, their perspective right now, Josh Heupel said they are going to, you know, first things first, prepare for if Arkansas goes back to the defense that they threw at them a year ago, which gave them so much trouble, which was the odd fronts, which was three safety looks, and it caused Tennessee obviously a lot of trouble. Once they figure out that, they're going to try to just go out there and run some sound plays, was the word the offense coordinator Joey Halsley used, figure out what Arkansas's in, use plays they think will work against a lot of different defenses and a lot of different structures, and then from there adjust on the fly, which will be a unique challenge for Joey Aguilar, but at the same time, a lot of defenses give Tennessee a different look than they've shown in the past, just because of how potent Tennessee's defense can, or Tennessee's offense can be, and how much they can stress you out. So it's not totally a new thing to expect the quarterback to adjust on the fly, and they felt like he's done a good job so far, but it is a different situation than they've been in this year.
Where do you feel like, based off of what Bobby Petrino has thrown at other teams, where do you feel like that you could be concerned that Arkansas can take advantage of Tennessee?
Well, I guess just looking back, and this is more on the Tennessee side too, but just got to stop the run, right? Like, they didn't do a good job against Mississippi State doing that. And all good offenses start with being able to establish the run. And that's what Bobby Petrino's settled or done a good job with too at his stops, is establishing the run, and that sets up the game through the air. So that's one area. And then the other area is just how dynamic of a player Taylen Green is. Tennessee outside linebackers coach LaVorne Chop Harbin compared Taylen Green to Vince Young and Michael Vick this week, which is quite the compliment, considering those are two of the better quarterbacks in recent college football history. And Tennessee fans know that too, because Taylen Green had a really strong game last year in Fayetteville as well. So you got to contain him. You've got to contain his arm. You have to pressure him in the pocket. But once you do start to get that pocket to collapse, which Tennessee's pass rush has been pretty good this year, you got to contain him. You got to bring him down. You can't let him extend plays, get around the edge and convert a third down with his feet, or extend a play and find someone down the field, because he is a dynamic playmaker. So it's, you know, more to it than as simple as this, but it does feel like a lot of it is, you got to clog the run game, and you've got to make sure Taylen Green doesn't just take over this game, which is a lot easier said than done.
All right, let's flip it. Where do you feel like Tennessee can exploit and challenge Arkansas?
Well, Tennessee's offense should score a lot in this game. And now it might be some growing pains earlier, things like that, just as you're trying to figure out what Arkansas is going to do in this game. But also Tennessee's offense, just personnel-wise, it has a big talent advantage over Arkansas's defense. They're schematically going to be a lot more comfortable. Tennessee's use of tempo could create a lot of issues for Arkansas, a team that it's their first game with a new defensive coordinator and a bunch of new different looks and different formations possibly and things like that. If you're going with tempo on top of that and Arkansas's already having to take that extra beat to think about what they're supposed to do here and what they want to do now that a bunch of things are changed, that could cause a big issue for Arkansas more than just any other team that tempo can cause an issue for. So I expect Tennessee to try to really go turbo at a lot of times and try to march down the field early. And it should be, you know, you say this and then it ends up being 10-7, but it should be a higher scoring game than a lot of games across college football, just because Tennessee's offense feels like it's going to be a minor miracle every time Arkansas gets off the field in this one. And then on the other end, while I don't think Tennessee's defense is bad, it's certainly not great. And Arkansas does have a pretty good offense, so they should be able to find a moderate amount of success on that end as well.
All right. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm going to repeat myself. Tennessee has not beaten Arkansas since 2007, and that was up on old Rocky Top. Ryan, how do you see this one playing out this weekend? Does Arkansas get 5 in a row over Tennessee, or does Tennessee get revenge from last year's stunning loss?
Well, I fully expect Bobby Petrino to just unload the clip in this one, right? Like he's playing with house money, obviously, but a big win over Tennessee on the road and your first game as interim coach could go a long way as far as trying to cement this job as the permanent head coach going forward, which it seems like Arkansas definitely isn't against that. Like if that's what works out, I think they'd be very happy, but you can't go, you know, 2-10 this year and expect to keep that title. You have to win some of these SEC games. So I fully expect Bobby Petrino to come out and, you know, maybe not go fully crazy like UAB did against Tennessee, where you're splitting linemen out to the boundary and stuff like that. You have to expect them to, you know, not save anything for the future. Like you're going all in, pushing all your chips in for this game. With that said, could that lead to some big plays down the field, some misassignments, things like that? Sure. Will it be enough to keep up with Tennessee's offense? I don't think so. I think Joey Aguilar will have another really strong game. I think Chris Brazel will have another really strong game as he cements himself as one of the better receivers across college football right now. And it's just tough for me to see Arkansas's offense keeping up with Tennessee's. I don't want to call it a full shootout. I don't think it'll be 52-49 like Tennessee, Alabama back in 2022. But I do think Tennessee will put up a good amount of points. The defense will get off the field enough to create a comfortable margin. And Tennessee should win this one where it's not, you know, overtime holding your breath like the other two SEC games Tennessee's played, and maybe a little bit more relief down the stretch than those other two.
All right. And looking ahead for Tennessee, I know that it's game by game by game, but next week Tennessee invades Tuscaloosa. Ryan, I definitely want to discuss and have you back on to discuss that game next week. So we will definitely catch up with you next week to talk about Alabama and Tennessee, which is known as the third Saturday in October, the nasty rivalry between the Vols and the Crimson Tide.
Man, I'm excited for that one. It should be another. Now that, you know, Tennessee's found its footing again, that rivalry's been a lot more fun than the last 20 years. So it's been one to look forward to, of course. Tennessee's trying to get that elusive win in Tuscaloosa. That is kind of one of the next things to check off the list for Josh Heupel. But
yes,
Kellen DeBoer's got them guys playing well after that opening loss. They looked good against Georgia, obviously. And then even against Vanderbilt, I think you have to like a lot of what they've done. I mean, I'm very interested. Going to keep my eye on that Missouri game this weekend, though, because it will, I think, tell you a lot about both sides of the field on that game. Because what do we know about Missouri right now? Not too much. They haven't really played anyone. What do we know about Alabama? I think a lot more. But how are they going to respond to another tough SEC game? It'll be interesting.
Ryan, we will definitely catch up with you next week, okay?
Yeah. Thanks, Stingray.
Go and enjoy covering the Hogs and Tennessee.
Appreciate you having me on.
All right, so guys, that is going to wrap up the Tennessee side of this matchup. When I come back on the other side of this break, I'm going to be joined by Kevin Bohanna of HogSports.com to do a preview of this game from the Arkansas side. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. The Woo Pig Suey side of the matchup is up next. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Ferguson of South's Finest Meats, the official sponsor of the Stingray Show, has a message for you.
Everything we do here is fresh and custom made, custom to order. You know, I tell people when they come in, you know, if you don't see what you like, ask somebody. You know, we've got the capability to process it, make it. You know, if you want a different blend of hamburger meat, we'll do your brisket blend. We'll do your chuck blend. We'll do your sirloin blend. You know, we do all that right here. We are a butcher shop. It's what we do. So please don't be afraid to ask if you don't see what you like. We can make you any size patty you want. We can make you any amount you want. You know, people come and say, well, how many patties come in the box? Well, ma'am, how many would you like in a box? You know, you want 12, we'll put 12. You want 25, we'll put 25.
That's just one of the many things that South's Finest Meats has to offer, the official butcher shop of the Stingray Show. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi, you can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
Tide 100.9. For more coverage of Alabama football, visit us at Tide100.9.com or download the free Tide 100.9 app.
The Crimson Tide will not be denied.
Hey, you. Looking to upgrade your ride? Alabama One has you covered with auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR. Up to $500 cash back, and the best part, no payments for 90 days. That's right. Buy or refinance and keep the cash in your pocket while you drive the ride you want. But hurry, this limited time offer ends October the 31st. You can apply today at alabama1.org or by calling 1-800-225-0110. Once again, auto loan rates as low as 3.99 APR, up to $500 cash back, and no payments for 90 days. Remember, Alabama One, one together. Back inside the Stingray Show, we just finished up with the Tennessee matchup of Arkansas from the Tennessee side. Now let's focus on this game from the Arkansas side. However, while we wait on Kevin Bohanna to join us from HogSports.com, I've gotten a lot of positive reviews here recently about the Alabama football history on this day, so I really want to thank all of you guys who really enjoy that. And as we do, another day of Alabama football history. Yesterday, if you will remember, Alabama back in 1977 went out to USC and knocked off the Trojans. Now, today is October the 9th, and unfortunately for Alabama fans, October the 9th is not a good day in Alabama history, because back in 2010, the number one ranked Alabama Crimson Tide lost 35-21 to number 19 South Carolina, ending the Crimson Tide's 19-game winning streak. South Carolina quarterback Stephen Garcia threw for three touchdowns, two of which were to Alshon Jeffries and Marcus Lattimore, scored three times on the ground. It was the first time in its program history that South Carolina had defeated an opponent ranked number one in the nation. And then later on October the 9th of 2021, Alabama loses on the road as they were number one again to number 19 Texas A&M by a final score of 41-38 on a last second field goal at Kyle Field. The game was played in College Station, Texas, and Bryce Young threw in that football game for 369 yards and three touchdowns, but Alabama came up short against Jimbo Fisher and the Texas A&M Aggies. So two stunning Alabama defeats came on this day of October the 9th in college football history. One in 2010 against South Carolina, and the other one most recently in 2021 against the Texas A&M Aggies. Now, let's go ahead and focus on the game that we are discussing this evening. And about to be joining me is Kevin Bohanna of HogSports.com to do a preview of this game from the Arkansas perspective. Kevin, how are things with you, as they say, up on the hill in Fayetteville, Arkansas, as we get here and ready for the trip to Tennessee?
Appreciate you having me, Stephen. It's been 2 weeks, and it's been a lot of fun the last 2 weeks as far as, you know, getting everything changed. You got a new defensive staff. You got four new coaches that are out there now. So Bobby Petrino everybody said the right things, whether it be players, coach. And Petrino's the only coach that has met with the media. So everybody said the right things so far, and it'll just be a matter of, you know, they're coming out playing a top 15 ranked team in Tennessee, best offense that Arkansas has seen this year. So it'll be interesting to see if Arkansas can grab hold of the rope. That's what one thing I wrote today in five burning questions. How easy is it to grab hold of that thing as soon after letting it go after the Notre Dame game? So that's really the big thing that we're wanting to see as fans and media coming into Saturday's matchup at Knoxville.
Kevin, if you would, give us an update on all of the new coaches on the defensive staff for Bobby Petrino as the interim coach at Arkansas.
Yeah, so Chris Wilson was promoted to defensive coordinator. He was the assistant defensive line coach under Deke Adams. And he has a wealth of experience in the SEC. He had Fletcher Cox at Mississippi State, a lot of other guys that went on to play in the league. So to have somebody with that much experience just sitting there as an assistant D-line coach was big for Coach Petrino. He didn't really have to, you know, that afforded him the ability to clean house at that point. So they were able to keep one of their secondary guys, and then they brought in Jay Hayes, who had been retired, but he coached for the Cincinnati Bengals as recently as 2015. I know that's 10 years ago, but Hayes brings a lot of experience. He coached in the league for 12 years. Of course, and people forget, Bob Petrino was in the NFL. He was there for the Jacksonville Jaguars as the offensive coordinator back in the early 2000s. And then, of course, he was at the Atlanta Falcons for half a season before he came to Arkansas. So a lot of the practices have been run with an NFL style and shorter periods, faster pace, a lot of things. The defense, they didn't scrap the whole playbook, obviously, but they went to emphasizing alignment, stance, eyes. That's the three biggest things they've been focusing on in the past 2 weeks. There's been a lot of energy. That's been the mantra coming out of Coach Petrino. The way he peels back an onion, And I wrote about this. Petrino will peel back an onion, and then he'll go into the multiverse and peel it again. That's what he wants to do. And just to not tell you, you know, this is what you're going to do. He's going to explain why, and he wants all of his coaches to do the same thing. So that's the biggest thing they've been doing on defense, making sure their run gaps are fit, making sure at each level that they're doing their job, because if the linebackers are out of position, the secondary and the safeties are going to be out of position.
So, Kevin, if you would, talk about the series history here recently of Tennessee and Arkansas, because shockingly enough, Tennessee has not beaten Arkansas since 2007. Arkansas is on a 4-game win streak, which is shocking to say the least.
Yeah, when you look back at the overall series with Tennessee, and you can go back to, you know, the first time I remember seeing them play was in the Cotton Bowl against Tennessee in 1990, I believe, because they played UCLA and Troy Aikman 1 year and lost 17-3. Next year they played Tennessee, and it was a higher scoring game. It was 31-27, something like that. So it's been a lot of fun, you know, playing Tennessee in the SEC. I saw Peyton Manning in 97 in Little Rock at War Memorial. Arkansas got up in that game. That was Danny Ford's last season before Houston Nutt took over in 98. Everybody remembers the Sterner fumble in 98. Arkansas was 8-0 headed into that game. The following year in 1999, Tennessee comes in with T. Martin ranked in the top five, and Arkansas beats them, Sterner to Lucas, on the double post route. I can draw up the play from memory right now. So that's when the goalpost went down Dixon Street, and, you know, memories were made, you know, on that night. So the first 6 overtime game in NCAA history happened in 2001, 41-38. Tennessee had Jason Witten at the time. But the last four games, it's been all Arkansas. Going back to when Coach Petrino was there in 2011, Arkansas beat them 49-7. One of the best punt returns I've ever seen, Joe Adams. He broke about 19 tackles on that, and guys were running off the sideline trying to get him, but they couldn't. So, you know, Tennessee was down at that time. I think Derek Dooley was the coach. That wouldn't surprise me if that was about the right time. But, you know, in the COVID year, Arkansas went down there beating 24-13. They stopped the run. They did a really good job. Barry Odom did. And then, you know, going back to last year, one of the things that I wrote in my article today was, does last year's win really matter because of roster turnover so much? The quarterbacks that ended the game for both teams are no longer on the teams. And right. Nico went to UCLA, and then Arkansas's backup quarterback, Malachi Singleton, is a backup quarterback for Purdue now. So you have so much roster turnover and so many new faces that you don't really rely on, okay, well, we won this game a couple last year, and, you know, Tennessee's out for revenge and stuff like that. Just so many new players, Steven, that, you know, that doesn't really affect what happens this year. So, yeah, Arkansas's owned the last four games, but that's four really different teams than what's going to be on the field on Saturday.
Kevin, we're up against our final break, and when we come back, we are going to recap briefly the game that you just mentioned last year and then dive into this matchup on Saturday. That's on the other side of the break. You're listening to the Stingray Show. We will finish it up right after this.
Has it always been your dream to build the pond of your dreams, but you don't know if property you own or thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond on? You need to contact Honey Hole Fisheries right here in Tuscaloosa County, because Jeff Bagwell will help you decide if property you own or are thinking about buying has a good location to build a pond. You can contact Honey Hole Fisheries at 205-799-0192. Once again, that is 799-0192. And hey, Jeff Bagwell can also order top quality automatic fish and hunting feeders for all of your outdoor recreation. Contact Jeff Bagwell today, once again at 205-799-0192, to help you build the pond or lake of your dreams. With all of the recent tornado damage and storm activity here in West Alabama, Alpha Insurance and hometown agent Jeff Nee can help you personalize your insurance needs. Remember, the more you protect, the more you save. With a helpful customer service service team here to serve you in Alabama and over in Mississippi. You can count on Alpha to provide an insurance plan that provides the protection you need, the convenience you expect, and the service that you deserve. For all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs, call Alpha agent Jeff Nee at 205-758-2577. Once again, 758-2577, or drop by their office on McFarland Boulevard East, Suite 101 in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And remember, Alpha agent Jeff Nee, the more you protect, the more you save.
National championship team covering a national championship team. The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back inside the Stingray Show. My second guest of the evening is Kevin Bohanna of hogsports.com to talk about the Arkansas and Tennessee matchup. Before the break, we were talking about the interim head coach and the defensive changes of Arkansas under new interim head coach Bobby Petrino. And if you would, Kevin, briefly recap last year's football game, in which was a stunning upset by Arkansas over then a highly ranked Tennessee football team.
Yeah, number four Tennessee, and winning that game got Arkansas to, you know, get to a bowl because they were 6-6. They don't win that game, Sam Pittman likely doesn't make it out of the season. So it's kind of weird how the defining win of the Sam Pittman era really kind of saved his job at that point. And it just kind of delayed the inevitable looking back. So Arkansas came out with a defense that they hadn't shown on film. You know, they came out in 3-2-6. Tennessee really spreads the field in that beer and shoot offense. And they really shut down Nico Amoliva and shut down the running game. That was the biggest thing. They, you know, shut down Dylan Sampson. Dylan Sampson was really good last year for the Volunteers. So that they did that for almost four quarters. Tennessee got a lead late in the game, 14-10. And Taylor Green got hit in the knee. And the Arkansas fans just kind of like the breath was let out of the stadium. A 15-yard penalty hit him in the knee. I forget what defensive player it was. But Malachi Singleton came in and played well. Braylon Russell, that was really his coming out party as a freshman last year. He had two really good carries on that final drive that put Arkansas up. And, you know, Tennessee gave up a safety at some point during the game to make the final score 19-14. But on the final drive of the game, Arkansas had a backup defensive guy in Quincy Rhodes Jr., who's now starting defensive end. And, you know, the three that they went with, Landon Jackson, Eric Gregory, are now, you know, playing professional football or were on a professional roster. And Rhodes was left in the game. So they get after the quarterback, try to make it. But Tennessee drove down the field, made some plays. And they got close there at the end. Nico kind of rolled out and ran out of bounds as time already expired, and they didn't even get to throw it in the end zone. I'm watching the whole game thinking, all right, he's going to throw in the end zone and they're going to win. It's going to be 20-19. That's going to be it. But Arkansas won the game. It'll go down as a huge win because it was over a top five team.
So we talked about that Bobby Petrino is coming off of a bye week, and there's not much on film for Tennessee to dissect coming into this matchup. What new wrinkles do you expect Arkansas to throw with Tennessee this year? Like you talked about, they went with a different defense last year.
Yeah, last year it was all about keeping everything in front of you and really make them make mistakes. So this year, Tennessee's changed up their offense a little bit. And with Joey Aguilar, they really didn't change it around him. It was just the fact of they wanted to incorporate some more pro concepts, okay? So they're going to be running out of more bunch sets. It's not just spread you sideline to sideline. They're still going to do that, and that creates natural running lanes. But they run more bunch sets and motions and shifts and where they're going to outflank you, outnumber you, outman you. So Arkansas, the base thing they have to do is stop the run. If they can stop the run, that they'll have a shot in this game. They want to make Aguilar make plays, and if they can get any semblance of pressure on him, he's thrown 5 interceptions in the last 3 games.
Right.
Problem is, Taylen Green's done the same thing. You know, he's thrown 5 interceptions on the year. He has more interceptions over the last 3 games, all losses, than he does touchdown passes. So Arkansas will have to come out on defense. And Josh Heupel, he's done this long enough. Look, guys, he comes back from the Mark Mangino, Mike Leach, Oklahoma days, when he was playing quarterback and won a national championship for the Sooners. So he takes a little bit, just like I did in high school, he takes a little bit of coaches that he's learned and kind of molds it into what he's got and his own offensive playbook. So they're going to have to make adjustments, but it's going to have to be in-game adjustments just like they did last year. So if there's anything that Tennessee can learn from last year's game is being able to make those adjustments quicker during a game and not maybe wait till the second half or halftime to do it. Communication is going to be big for Arkansas. This is the loudest crowd they've played it against the whole season. The previous was Ole Miss, and that was 60, 65,000 people.
Right.
They're going to be over 100,000 there on Saturday afternoon at Neyland Stadium. So they're going to have to over-communicate. The good thing is you got veteran guys on the offensive line, a veteran quarterback. It'll be an interesting game to see. There's just a lot of unanswered questions, and I think anxiety is the theme of the day for Arkansas media and Arkansas fans because you just don't know what's going to happen. The thing is you want to see improvement. That's the biggest thing.
Where do you feel like that Arkansas can take advantage of Tennessee?
They've shown that they can give up some points and they can, you know, make mistakes. The secondary is the weakness of their defense. The defensive front is good. They got Aaron Carter at linebacker and he's the leading tackler in the SEC. He had 17 tackles against Mississippi State. I think he had 13 against Georgia. So they're going to give up some points and they can do that. It's kind of a bend but don't break defense. They'll play man to one side, zone to another. So Taylen Green has to take advantage of that. If he can stay upright, that's the biggest thing. Tennessee did a really good job of spying him last year and shutting him down. Now, Taylen Green was not as healthy last year going into that Tennessee game, and especially afterwards. So they're going to have to run the ball, establish the run, and then use the pass off of that. So get the tight ends incorporated. Rohan Jones, Jaden Platt, let those guys work. Raylan Sharp out of the slot. He's really quick. Got some wiggle to him. Get him open in space, and they just got to make some plays and hold on to the football.
If Arkansas is going to go to Knoxville and pull off a monumental win under interim head coach Bobby Petrino, who are a couple of X factors on offense and then, of course, on defense for Arkansas?
Yeah, you read my article. I think I said the exact same thing. Monumental was the word that I used in there. So Mike Washington and Braylon Russell really are the X factors on offense. They have to run the ball hard. Coach Petrino said it's probably the best week of practice that Braylon Russell's had since he's been there. His pad level was good. His forward lean was good. And he mentioned this last night on the coach's show. Which would have been Wednesday night. So those two really have to come out and run hard. Hold on to the football, establish the running game. I think Arkansas can really do that. On defense, you got to have really good linebacker play. Xavier Sorey and Steven Dix. And both of those have played under their potential so far this year. Maybe it be because of a nagging injury or something like that. But if those two can really come out and play, Arkansas may have a fighting chance if they can keep it close late in the game.
All right. Arkansas has won 4 in a row over Tennessee, and Tennessee has not beaten Arkansas since it was played in Knoxville back in 2007. Kevin, do you have it going to 5 in a row for Arkansas on Saturday afternoon?
Unfortunately, I think, you know, Tennessee's a better team at this point, and they've been playing good football, playing with a little fire. They had 2 overtime games. They're 1-1 in those games. I think they should have beaten Georgia. That's the one game that probably keeps them, you know, being in the top 5 right now. So I do think Tennessee wins the game. Just think Arkansas just had too many things that they've had to deal with this season. Human nature is going to catch up with them at the end of the day. As much as you like to think Petrino can turn things around that fast, it's really hard. It's really hard, Steven. So while everybody is saying the right things in interviews and all that good stuff, they still and ripping the rearview mirror off and not looking back, looking forward, you know, they're going to do everything they can, but I just think they come up short in the end.
Kevin, look, man, are you making the trip over to Rocky Top?
Not this time. Staying out. We've got baseball going on this weekend in Fayetteville. Dallas Baptist and UALR are coming in for a kind of a doubleheader fall scrimmage to end the fall campaign for Arkansas and everything. So I'll stick around, take in some of that action this weekend, and follow the game on Saturday from afar.
Look, man, thank you as always. Good luck to the Arkansas Razorbacks this weekend. Hopefully, Bobby Petrino can get a big W in his first game as interim head coach there at Arkansas, and we will catch up with you next week, okay?
All right. Thanks, Steven. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right. So, guys, that is going to wrap up this edition of the Stingray Show. I really do want to thank Kevin Bohanna right there of Hogsports.com and then Ryan Silva of Rocky Top Insider who joined us in the first two segments. When we come back on the Fun Friday edition of the Stingray Show, we are going down to the loveliest village on the plains and talk about the Deep South's oldest rivalry between Georgia and Auburn as that game is this weekend and Hugh Freeze could potentially be coaching for his job because if Auburn loses that game, they will start the season 0-3 in conference play. Kyle Rush from the Barn will join us to talk about this game from the Auburn perspective tomorrow at 6 p.m. on the Stingray Show, and we will see you Friday evening for a preview of the Deep South's oldest rivalry, Georgia and Auburn, tomorrow.